This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. President Trump on Friday signed an executive order that bars Syrian refugees indefinitely and halts the U.S. refugee resettlement program for 4 months. The order also denies entry for 90 days to people from 7 predominantly Muslim countries: Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Syria, Sudan, and Libya. Hours after that order was signed, people began to be detained upon arrival at U.S. international airports. Then later that evening, a federal judge halted the deportations, saying the action violated due process and fundamental constitutional rights. And over the weekend, there were mass protests against that order across the nation and here in San Antonio. What's your reaction to the executive order, how it was rolled out, and the protests that we saw across the country this weekend? What's your reaction to all that? Here's your chance to speak out. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined by Robert Stovall, the chairman of the Bexar County Republican Party, and Sarwat Hussein, founding president of the San Antonio chapter and national board member for the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And welcome back to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, Sarwat, let me ask you, first off, what was your reaction when you heard about the signing of the executive order by President Trump on Friday?
It was unbelievable to start with, very painful to see. We could right away, I could imagine, I could see, visualize the families that were going to get hurt. Because there are many, many families, including in San Antonio, from all those countries. And then thinking that those countries have not done anything wrong to us. We have not found any terrorists from those countries. And So it hurts to see the breakage of the families. And right here in San Antonio, we have families whose relatives were visiting them, and then they were turned away, turned back to their homeland right from the port of entry. So this is uncalled for. This is not the America that the world knows about. Mr. Trump should also, President Trump should also think, how would he feel if his family breaks like this? And it is also hurting. Another thing is that America, if we want to keep America safe, this is not the way to keep America safe. We are calling wars on those lands, then we stop them escaping from those wars, and then we expect them to respect us. Think about it.
Robert Stovall, chairman of the Bexar County Republican Party. Talk about your reaction, and tell me first, how are you addressing this? Are you talking, this is of the view as the leader of the local Republican Party? How do you see that?
Correct, yeah. I would say that I'm speaking for generally for the Republican Party of Bexar County and my constituents that have expressed their views on this and everything. And it's been a positive thing. Look, we have a brand new president in the White House. He ran his campaign on this. He called it extreme vetting. We know that there are Syrian refugees that infiltrated Germany and France and other European countries that have caused harm. Why do we have to wait for that to happen here? And he told when he was going to be elected that this is one of the things he's going to do. It's extreme vetting. It needs to be done. We feel as a country that we need a new president that's going to keep us safer. That's the oath that they take. And Donald Trump is going to hold to his word. I understand there was about 120 or so people that were trying to come in from other countries. I want to make that clear that those people have been cleared to come in to the United States. This is a temporary ban. It's going to on some of these people that are coming from other countries. We need to find out who is coming across our borders. We need to find out who is coming into our country. We need to find out which Americans are leaving this country and going to these camps and getting externally extreme by ISIS and these other radical Islams that are causing problems in this country. We've already seen that in California and Florida. And I think Donald Trump's got the right idea. He is putting this country first. He's putting the American citizens first. He's putting the extreme radicals on watch, that everyone that's coming in this country is going to be vetted, gone through thoroughly before they just walk in. And I think that the American people are applauding that.
There's a lot there, and so we can try and get through that as best we can here. So you're hearing from your constituents that they support and they appreciate this effort by President Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
And so when you say President Trump ran on this and he was elected on this, even though he did not win the popular vote, does that matter in regards to whether or not you have the popular support in this type of motion?
Well, I want to remind you that he didn't run on gathering the popular vote. If had he run on popular vote, he probably would have won that again, because there were states like California that he didn't even
campaign. I can only take the world as it is. I don't know about supposedly so. But he ran and he did not get the popular vote, and he won with the Electoral College, and he is now the president.
Correct.
And I understand that. I'm just saying, when you run and you say you have the will of the people behind you, but you don't precisely have the will of the people behind you because you did not achieve that as the popular vote, then isn't that part of the equation?
Well, look, I'm glad you brought this up, because, ladies and gentlemen, don't believe all this hype here. I mean, there's a Quinnipiac poll that just came out today with a margin of 48% to 42%. They are supporting Donald Trump suspending immigration from terror-prone regions, even if it means turning away refugees. That was a Quinnipiac poll that just came out early this morning on this situation. And so if you want to say those 3 million that didn't make it, but we've got a poll here that shows that the American people are behind Donald Trump as well.
Explain, okay, you brought it up. I didn't really understand what you said. Maybe I'm slow on the uptake. How does that prove that he has, that the American public, you said 42% support?
48%.
Yeah, that's not a majority.
To 42%.
Okay, 48% support Trump and 42% say against it.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure we got that communicated appropriately. So let's switch over to Sirwat Hussain over at the Council of American Islamic Relations. Do you want to react to that at all?
Yeah. First of all, extreme wetting. What is extreme wetting? Are we saying America never did that before? If you go to those countries and you are a Muslim and you apply, I have gone through it myself, okay? It takes a long, long, long time. What else is Donald Trump going to add to that extreme wetting? We want to know. Secondly, all these Syrians and everybody that is coming there, since they have already gone through that process, how can we call them their danger to the country? How can we call them their extremists? They're radicalized. How many cases do we have? We do have a few cases, but they are isolated cases. The ones that we call terrorism by the Muslims, obviously, if a Muslim does something wrong, it is terrorist. But if anybody else goes around and kills people, what do we call them? Mental illness? I mean, think about it. It is. So radical Islam, it's isolated cases only. If you look at them, we have 4, 5, 6 cases in the United States. But if you compare them, how many other terrorist activities that are taking place in the United States? More than 30,000 people being killed every year. We never pay attention to that.
We're taking a break. We're opening up the phone lines for you to join our conversation as we talk about Donald Trump's executive order signed on Friday about the temporary ban on Muslims coming in from some select countries. The number is 210-614-8980. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about what does Donald Trump's immigration freeze mean for San Antonio, the nation, and the world. We saw people swelling into the streets and hitting the international airports this weekend saying that they did not support the ban, yet there were many people who have different feelings. They have reached out to Robert Stovall, one of our guests. He's the chairman of the Bexar County Republican Party. He says he's hearing good things from people here in San Antonio that support Donald Trump. Well, what do you think? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And Ted is on the line. And Ted, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My thoughts on this are that it's a typical example of Mr. Trump doing ready, fire, aim. There may be indeed some cause for doing something to restrict immigration, but you know, prior administrations, including Republican administrations, have not felt it was necessary to do this. So, you know, number one, was it necessary? And number two, it seems that the mechanism or the hammer was very crude rather than being fine-tuned as it should have been. And I'm a older white male, so please don't include me among that survey that the gentleman was quoting that said most people support Mr. Trump. I'm afraid that's far from true.
All right, Ted, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. So, Ted, he talks about the rollout of this policy change, and that has been faulted as being very clumsy. There was a lot of confusion, and some people were saying that they should have taken more time in crafting it and in communicating down the line about who was subjected to this. And that was the fault that that was picked up by the judge, who said that this violated the due process of many of these people who were impacted. So, so Sirwat Hussein, do you think that that was a problem, that this was just not well orchestrated?
I don't think so. That is the platform he ran all his campaign on. We were expecting not only that, this is not a short-term thing. It is going to continue. All along, we do not know how can we trust a man who all along lied to us with his taxes, with his business, with everything else. And this is the fear-mongering and nothing else to distract the people from the real issues that our country is facing. Giving false sense of security to the people by saying, oh, they are coming to take us over. They're just doing this. They are doing that. Sharia is coming. And this is all nonsense. There is no truth to all these things. If there is any radicalization taking place, tell us which mosque it is. Tell us where it is happening. They are not able to give us any evidence of any such cases.
Right. I don't want to get into the whole entirety of Donald Trump and who he is and what he ran on and stuff, because then we won't achieve anything as far as trying to at least educate the listeners about what exactly this policy is and how it's impacting people. So let's try and stay in that narrow lane here. So Robert Stovall, tell us again about how this is a temporary ban, okay? That seems to be very important. And people say the label has been applied to it as a Muslim ban, and that the officials in Washington, D.C. in the Trump administration are saying that that's completely inaccurate. It is not a Muslim ban.
Yeah, I don't think that, that Trump ran on having a Muslim ban. He talked about extreme vetting from all the countries and knowing where these people are coming from, especially countries that don't have birth certificates or anything like that. We know from Germany and France that there were radicalized people that were coming, that were radicalized by ISIS, and that it caused harm and got in vehicles and ran over people in Germany and France. Look, this is nothing. The idea that this is something extreme is not. I mean, we've been looking at since 2002, and then 2011 under the Obama administration, the pause on the Iraq refugee program that lasted 6 months. I didn't see people hollering and screaming and protesting in the airports and demanding that Obama for 6 months stop this.
Okay, so you're comparing the 2011 action from President Obama to what Trump did on Friday. There's a lot of difference between those two actions. First of all, what happened with Obama in 2011 was a direct result of a identified terrorist threat that they had seen. It was not just a wide action. This was there was numerous meetings and studies and papers done up by national security and by the intelligence community in regards to before they issued that ban. And it was rolled out in a way that was highly orchestrated, and there was a lot of communication. It was done in a specific visa type. It wasn't look at people who were trying to get the country in a specific way. It wasn't a complete ban against all people coming from these countries, and it wasn't we have not heard the identification of any specific terror threat. So there's a lot of distinctions between what President Obama did and what we're seeing now. So it seems like that's a smokescreen. I mean, is it a smokescreen?
No, I don't think it's a smokescreen. When a president sees, we don't have access to all the information that they this came off of an FBI investigation that they had information about several dozen terrorists from Iraq that had infiltrated the United States in the refugee program. And then there was enough evidence there. And to go beyond that, do we have to wait until we've got something that, that happened today in or last night in Canada where six people were shot in a mosque? And to that, I just want to...
That's called... evidence-based reasoning.
Yeah,
you do wait for.
So we do. We have to wait for. We've had it already. I mean, we've had someone in San Bernardino and in Florida.
Was that a refugee? No,
was he was not a refugee, but he was sent and radicalized.
He was an American citizen
by ISIS.
All right, so let me get some callers on the line. Bonnie has called in. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. I wanted to ask Mr. Stovall if he could describe in detail the current vetting process and then explain where it's inadequate.
Okay, thank you, Bonnie. So, Mr. Stovall, Chairman Stovall, go for it.
Well, that I don't have the actual data on the exact vetting process. However, we do know that under the past administration that there was a catch-and-release program that was on the Texas borders with the immigration deal,
and
that was shut
Mexican
off last
citizens
week.
Who were caught coming into the country
was,
without authorization.
Not just Mexican citizen, it was OTMs and everybody else that was coming across the border. Not everyone that comes across the Texas border is from Mexico. Let's make that clear.
Right. But we have a different policy towards citizens from Mexico as than from other countries. The ones who come from other countries tend to be detained and looked at much more seriously.
Let me tell you something. I travel quite a bit in my business. I go to Ecuador, Colombia, Peru, and Mexico.
Okay.
I have been detained on several occasions in Colombia, especially in the 90s when there was the drug situations were happening. I would stay in the airport and detained by the Colombian officials. I did what they said, followed their procedures, as well as coming back into the United States as a United States citizen. I appreciate those things. I appreciate the fact that government officials, whether you're going into their country or you're coming into our country, that they are taking this stuff seriously and not lightly, because there is a situation that we have seen in this country that our last administration did not take this seriously, as he was letting people in the United States from we don't know where they were coming from, and releasing them in states where governors were asking them not to release those people. So this happens all the time in the country and in the world.
Okay, another caller, Sandy. Sandy, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having this conversation. Your guest speaker talked about a poll that was just released yesterday. There's no way that the people's opinion about what was happening in the airports can be reflected on from that poll. It's just disgusting that green card holders and students and workers with visas were detained and handcuffed and actually deported without any legal representation. I think too many of Trump's people have alternate realities, alternate truths. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, Sandy. And my notes from her say that she has been trying to contact her congressional members without success. But let me ask you about that, Sirwat Hussein, because tomorrow is Muslim Day on the Texas Capitol, Austin. What do y'all hope to achieve with that?
We do this. We had started doing it in 2003, and every other year we take the Muslims, especially the youth, for them to learn how the political process works and engage with the lawmakers. So for us, this is a teaching moment, and that is what we achieve out of it. But 4 days before that, a letter was sent by Representative Biederman, who is a Republican, from Fredericksburg to the leadership of Muslims in the state, in which he's asking us to take the oath and prove that we are patriot citizens of the United States. He's claiming that in Texas, radicalization is spreading, and then he has to control it. He did this hearing in the name of Homeland Security. I want to know Where is this radicalization taking place? Tell us. What a waste of time, again, giving his constituency the false sense of security. These people should be attending more of the dire issues that are needed in the country instead, wasting their time. And this is all across the board with the Republicans. Some of them are very nice. They've been calling us, and they are apologizing, but very few of them. None of the Republican members came out and condemned what he was doing.
All right, let's go to Tina, and Tina has called in. Hi, Tina. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. You go right ahead.
I agree with Trump. We have got to get these people out of here. Their religion of beheading and downgrading the women and hurting the kids, and how do we know who they are? Some of them been over here 4 or 5 years and ended up killing us anyway. We got enough of killing of our own people, and we're going to bring them over there and house them and feed them, food stamp them, and then they have businesses, take their food stamps and buy for their businesses and resell it. We have how many years we got to put up with these people killing us before something is done?
So, Tina, you're not pulling my leg. This is really what you think, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure that you're not, you know, a parody phone call or something. Her opinion there is pretty alarming.
As again, I'm saying, bad people are bad people. If Muslims are killing, these are isolated cases. Why don't we also worry the same way for other 30,000 people being killed in the country every year? Control, do the gun control, mental institutions. We don't have any of those. When Muslim does it again, it becomes a terroristic activity. And that Muslim who's killing out there, whoever has killed in the past, they are killed right away. Why don't they kept alive so we can ask what was wrong? But if you look into their records, that was employment dispute or other things. But I have not seen anybody coming out. We can say, oh, he's a Muslim. Oh, we have seen this. He was doing this. So far, nobody has been able to prove it.
Right.
Just now, it was mentioned.
Yeah, I'm going to give Robert a chance to respond.
I just think that's outrageous. I mean, we look at the guy at Fort Hood who they tried to make it out like it was some workplace deal, and it was not. It was radical Islam. He's alive. We can ask him all day long what took place, and he's not going to tell us other than he'll yell Allah Akbar, just like what took place yesterday in Canada. Look, we are faced with radical extreme Islam in the Middle East. ISIS has been taking over that country small, little by little, leaking into countries that we've even made safe areas like Iraq, and it's becoming worse. I mean, under the last administration, we don't know who's coming in our country. We need
to. You keep saying that. We don't know who's coming into our country, yet we do know who is coming into the country.
If a guy does not have a birth certificate and he tells you his name and we're supposed to take all
the visa?
He was not allowed.
They're
not allowed to come into. If you don't have documents, the people who come into the country have documents.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works to get a visa.
Yeah,
it's a very controlled situation.
It's pretty easy to get some of those documents, just as like they did. My question to you is:
if it's easy to get these documents, then if there are determined terrorists who want to come into the country, they will come into the country, and that this executive order will not stop them.
Extreme vetting will stop them. I'll ask you this: are you happy with the million people that Angela Merkel led in her country, and the refugees and the situations that's taking out of control? In that situation, I mean, I think not. I mean, I think most Americans are looking for this.
Okay.
For Trump to stop this situation.
Okay. All right. Robert Stovall, chairman of the Bexar County Republican Party. Sarwat Hussein, she's the board member for the National Council of American Islamic Relations.